The sermon this evening comes from James chapter 3, starting with verse 13. James chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is dishonor and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you that you have spoken to us in your word. We thank you for the opportunity to look and to examine and to be Bereans, to see what you have said and to learn how it is true in our own hearts, in our own households, in our churches. God, bless us and give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us eyes to see, that we will learn to walk in accordance with wisdom, that you will be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the past years of my life, I've been learning to be a runner. To a small child, that would sound stupid. Learning to run. Do we have to take a child and say, now let's learn to run? No, they simply do it. They just take off and they run. I was talking to my father about the idea and I asked him the question, when do you think it stops being jogging and becomes running? And he looked at me like I was an idiot. He said, you don't know when you're running. I was speaking to a man in our church and I explained, I've got this book on running. He again looked at me like I was an idiot. What do you need a book for? In order to learn how to run. It's such a simple process. Our Christian life seems like that when we're young. Our Christian life may seem like that when we're first converted. It's so simple. You just run. You just do it. You take the love of Christ, you take the words of Christ, and you just apply it. It's so simple. It's so easy. But the Christian life is not this simple run. The Christian life is not just going around a track and around a track and around a track. The older we get and the more responsibility we have, we see it becomes closer to a mud run than a run around a track. It's closer to a Spartan race where we have these burdens, where we have climbing ropes and rope ladders, where we have balance beams, where we're swimming through the mud to get to where we have to go. And we start thinking, I wish someone would write a book on how we handle this. And again, we just slide the scripture to someone and say, just do this. But when is it that simple? When is it that easy? When you're dealing with me and you have to deal with my sin. When I'm dealing with you and I have to deal with your sin. When we're dealing with one another and we have to deal with the sin in our household. When we have to deal with the sin in each other's churches. When we have to deal with the sin in our church across the board. When we have to deal with the sins of the church across the world. And we're told to stand for truth. And we're told to be gentle. We're told to be loving, but unwavering. How do we apply such amazing truth in such a way where we actually have a stride? Where we're actually getting someplace? Well, we look at the scripture this evening and we see this picture of what heavenly wisdom looks like. And it asks the question, Am I heavenly wise? This is our first step as we ask the questions of ourselves. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. We look at this and we can start asking the questions of ourselves. We look and can ask, am I pure? Am I pure? Am I without sin? Am I peaceable? Do I bring peace everywhere I go? Am I gentle? Am I reasonable? Am I full of mercy? Unwavering? Am I without hypocrisy? Am I all of these things? Am I heavenly wise? If any of us were picking out our tombstones and we said, I think these are the things I'd like on my tombstone. Pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And we showed it to our closest neighbor and they say, And we look and we see that the reality of these things and the truth of these things, we read these and say, if I have these, I am heavenly wise. And if we look further on and we see that the other side is more close to the truth of us, that we have selfish ambition, that we have arrogance, and that that wisdom is earthly, that wisdom is demonic. Then we would cry out with one voice, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I am not heavenly wise. I am closer to selfish ambitious. I am closer to a worldly wisdom. I am closer to that which is demonic. Now, even crying out, come quickly, Lord Jesus, it seems to imagine all of a sudden that if you give me just a couple of minutes, I'm going to go ahead and pull off a righteousness. I'm going to pull it off and I can hold that righteousness for a couple of minutes. And if Jesus comes, then I'm going to be golden. I can pull it off then. But we look at this godly wisdom. We look at this heavenly wisdom. And it's not just a don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. It's not a complacency. It's not a being still. It's not an active crime. But we look at it and we see that it's all of movement and it's all in action. It is, again, running through a course, remaining pure and being peaceable. Gentle is active. It's not something you can just not be mean for a minute. But actually being gentle, actually being reasonable, actually being full of mercy, actually unwavering, actually being without hypocrisy, which would mean sharing the gospel with everyone we claim to love. Am I heavenly wise? So with this, then we move to our second step and we see the hard reality that we deal with, if we can be honest. And that hard reality is, I am awash in earthly, natural, demonic wisdom. Awash in it. Covered by it. Actively being moved by earthly, natural, demonic wisdom, as we see in verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy, and if we could all be honest, who has bitter jealousy? All of our hands would go up. Who has selfish ambition? And our hands go up. Selfish ambition in your heart, not even necessarily acting on it, but we see that this is the heart that we have. Saying, if this is the reality, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant. And so sin against the truth. If we imagine that we have arrived, if we imagine that this is not the case in our lives, if we imagine or see that I can cover it up good enough to come to a one-hour service tonight. I cannot hate you that long. I can be that good for this moment. That is this lie against the truth. James 3:16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. All right. Do you have disorder? Yep. Dealing with your heart, do you have disorder? Yes. Dealing with your house, do you have disorder? Yes. In your church, do you have disorder? Yes. In our denomination, yes. In the church across the world, do we have disorder? Yes. And the reason is there is jealousy and there is selfish ambition. We look in Scripture, and the first time that we see the jealousy is with Adam and Eve and what they wanted to take from God and have it themselves. We see that line continuing with Cain, who would kill his brother over a selfish ambition. We see selfish ambition. We see self-promoters in our lives instead of Jesus promoters. In our own hearts, we can find ourselves as self-promoters rather than Jesus promoters. In every sphere, moving out into our home, to our churches, to the church abroad. Self-promoters instead of Jesus promoters. And the evidence is there, as we see in verse 16. Disorder and every evil thing. The evidence that we are awash in worldly wisdom. So where do we go from here, and what hope is there for an individual, for a family, for a denomination, a church, a denomination and a church across the world? We see the truth that God is and God has spoken. We are in the beautiful place where we don't have to rely on ourselves to fix it. We don't have to figure out how to do these obstacles ourselves. But a word has spoken. A God has spoken. He has given us answers and truth. Where is the wisdom that we are seeking, this heavenly wisdom? Verse 17 again. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. There is a wisdom that is beautiful. A wisdom that heals. Psalm 19:8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We saw earlier that the word of the Lord and the precepts of the Lord restore the heart again. There's a rescue. There's a healing, a restoration that brings us to God Himself. Now, this idea that God is and He has spoken, we looked at the spoken part, but let's look at how He is once more. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14:1. That's what the fool says. The opposite is true as well. The one who is wise says, God is. God is. God speaks and He says, I am. Sometimes that hasn't made any sense to me. And sometimes in my life, that's the only thing that makes any sense. That God really does exist. Flowing from that, He really has and is speaking. What is it to be a fool? But to reject the reality of Him being, to reject the reality that He has spoken. The fool is saying in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. And we see the continued demonic wisdom from Genesis 3:14. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. You don't have to listen to Him. But the truth and the wisdom is in Him as He has spoken. The wisdom that has come from above, which brings us to our fourth step. Jesus is the embodiment of heavenly wisdom. The embodiment and the display of heavenly wisdom. Again, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. 1 Corinthians 1:30 clinches this statement for us. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So if we look at this heavenly wisdom, is Jesus, as it's described here in verse 17, pure? Ta-da! Right? Is this Jesus peaceable? He brings peace to the world. He rescues us and reconciles us with this ministry of reconciliation. Is Jesus gentle? Yeah. As gentle as he can be to draw people like you and me. Is he reasonable? Now, this word here gets to be a lot of fun. Is he reasonable? This idea of reasonable, it has a couple of nuances. One is obedient and then compliant and willing to give in. In what sense is Jesus reasonable? He showed himself reasonable at the cross. He showed himself obedient and compliant to the law as he came about to bring our rescue. But it brings us to a different place in our application. Is this Jesus, again, pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, full of good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy? You and I are brought to this beautiful place where we see the living embodiment of the heavenly wisdom that is given for us, that we can look and see and know, and we actually have someone to follow as we run through the Spartan race in the Tough Mudder. Because he has been tempted in every way that you have been tempted, and yet has been without sin. So we look at Jesus as this heavenly wisdom and the display of heavenly wisdom. And our fifth step is heavenly wisdom walks in righteousness. Now, we're talking about and we're considering what you do now if you're being wise. How you live it out. What it looks like step by step in your interactions with one another. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Now, isn't this what we want to see if we're training up children, right? We ask the question, are you being wise in your dealing with your siblings? Are you being pure and peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, full of good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy? Isn't that exactly what we want to see from them? In the same way, our Heavenly Father wants to see in us, in our interactions with one another. Choosing how we are walking. If it is in wisdom, it's going to look like a righteousness that is moving along, that is real, that is lived. And what is righteousness? But the greatest commandments, loving God in accordance with the first four commandments, that we would have no other God before him, that we would not make or worship any graven image, that we wouldn't be taking the Lord's name in vain, and that we would be keeping the Sabbath. That's wise. That's good. It's beautiful. It's pure. And the second greatest commandment is like it, loving our neighbor as ourselves, that we would be honoring our fathers and our mothers. That we wouldn't be committing murder and adultery, that we wouldn't be stealing and coveting, that we wouldn't be bearing false witness. These things are wise and they're beautiful, a wisdom that looks like a righteous walk in the world. Now our next step, it's not just walking in accordance or taking steps with these things or in these things, but a heavenly wisdom also produces righteousness. This is the sixth step. Heavenly wisdom produces righteousness. Not only walks in it, but moves toward it. James 3:18. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That means if our parenting is in accordance with heavenly wisdom, that we would be walking in these things, and that as parents we would find ourselves striving for purity, being peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, full of good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Luke 7:35, Jesus says, wisdom is vindicated by all of her children. that the steps in which we are walking, if they are wise, we're moving forward and towards a place where righteousness isn't just our steps, but righteousness is actually being produced and grown up. It's what we're striving for. It's the ways in which we are living as we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. So wisdom walks in righteousness. Wisdom also accomplishes a righteousness in the works that we're doing. Now, this can't be just a pragmatic argument, though. It can't just be, well, look, all of my kids are good, so I did it all right. None of us are going to pull it off that way. If your kids are good, air quotes, it's been the grace of Christ and the mercy of Christ. That's for sure. You can do it all right, and some of us have been in the place where we've done the best that we could, and even getting wise counsel, and moving forward and pursuing a righteousness, some of us have been in a place where even our kids were excommunicated. But if it was done in such a way in which you labored for purity, peace, gentleness, reasonableness, if you were full of mercy and full of good fruits, if you were unwavering, if you were without hypocrisy, you can still be at the place where they can come back. There's a beauty and a truth to the heavenly wisdom. It can be the reality in our households. It can be the reality in our churches. It can be the reality of our hearts and our lives and our relationships with one another. Our next step is to seek wise counselors. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and then reasonable. This is a seeming contradiction here as we look at it's reasonable, which means willing to change, and yet unwavering. Go ahead and grab a preacher and say, now be reasonable and unchanging. Pull this off. Grab a parent and say, be reasonable but unchanging. Go ahead, pull this off. It seems like the great struggle in the Christian life to be both firm and steadfast and yet be loving. Well, this word reasonable, we see that it applied to Jesus Christ in that he was obedient to the Father. It'll apply to me and you that we will be willing to give in. We will be willing to listen. We will be willing to say, if I see in the word that I'm wrong, I will give in. I will submit. The firmness and the steadfastness is I will follow Jesus. I will not yield in following him. I will not yield in his word. But each of us in our lives, we have these horrible blind spots where we need counsel to be brought to us, where we have to seek these wise counselors to speak to us. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. In Proverbs 18:1, it makes a statement and says, the one who isolates himself seeks his own desires. To have wise counselors. And what's that mean? I'll tell you, when I want a counselor, I want the one that's going to tell me what I want to hear. That's what I want. I want the counselor that is most likely and going to side with me. I've told the story to my congregation a lot. When Leslie and I have come to an impasse in our relationship and a decision has to be made, I would say, all right, we'll call an elder. You pick the elder. She picks the elder. I would call the elder while she's listening to make sure I tell the story right. And she always picked the right elder, the one that sided with her. But the reality is that we need to be willing to go to the people. And when you're picking a counselor, pick somebody that loves Jesus more than you. Pick someone who knows more Bible than you. Pick someone that's more steadfast than you. If you're going to a counselor who knows less than you do, you are sneaking around trying to get the answer that you want. But a wise counselor is necessary for wisdom so that we can be reasonable, obedient, compliant, willing to give in when we're wrong. Our next step, number 8, in accordance with wisdom, is to be transparent with our counselors. Again, it's someone who knows the Bible more than you. It's someone who's following Jesus better than you. We don't hide who we are in accordance with Proverbs 18:1, but we are willing to demonstrate and admit that we have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in our heart in accordance with 3:14, that we will not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. But we will be in that place of the godly wisdom that in verse 17 is from above. That we would be seeking to be pure and peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. The dilemma that we face is we are always in danger of bearing false witness, mainly about ourselves. As we would lie and hide the reality of our hearts from our counselors. We walk in pride. We walk in arrogance. We walk in selfish ambition, which is that wisdom that is worldly, earthly, and demonic. So what do we do? How do we run? We had a race yesterday, and there was a lovely lady in our congregation who went out to run, and she had, I can tell you the whole hysterical story later on. As she's running, she realizes she's dead last as she's moving along. She's looking around and she's so far back that they started taking down the signs. So she's running through town and she looks around and there's no more signs. She doesn't know where to go. And she says she's standing there in the street thinking, think, trying to remember the map as it was displayed. And she said, I know it goes over there somewhere. And she looks over there and says, ooh, there's McDonald's. And she walks across and she goes to McDonald's then because somebody she knows works there sometimes. She's in McDonald's and she's hanging out for a little bit. Eventually she walks out and a police officer sees her with her bib on and asks, what are you doing here? She said, I got lost. There was nobody for her to follow, and all the signs were gone. We claim that. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. All the signs are gone. There's no one for me to follow. But we look again at 1 Corinthians 1:30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. One of the ways I understand Jesus Christ is that we've blown it so much, mankind blew it. He says, I'll come down there and I'll show you how to do it, son. He came down and he walked the paths that you and I have to walk. He loved sinners that treated him worse than the sinners in your life. He walked and he displayed wisdom from above and he accomplished perfect righteousness. And he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What is wisdom? What is the wisdom that you can hope for? The wisdom that you can accomplish, it's knowing Jesus Christ. It is following him. And whenever you seek him, he promises you will find him. Give yourself to Christ. Give yourself to the wisdom that is from above. We have no other hope. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for having sent your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for having spoken to us in your word, showing us our need for him. God, please help us as individuals, as you have promised, that if we ask for wisdom, if we ask without doubting, you will give it to us. We thank you that you have given us Christ Jesus. We thank you that you have given us this example. We thank you that you have given us counselors all around us who know you and love you. May we be a people who can walk with confidence in this world, striving for purity, striving for peace, striving for mercy, and being unwavering in our commitment to you and our affection for you, that you will be glorified as we love you and as we love our neighbors. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.